Blog Talk Radio.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator now when thanksgiving is due. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. I'm grateful for the laughter of children, the sun and the wind and the rain, the color of blue in your sweet eyes, the sight of a highball and train, the moon rise over a prairie, and oh, love that you've made new. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. And this year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. When the time comes to be going, it won't be in sorrow and tears. I'll kiss you goodbye and I'll go on the way, grateful for all of the years. I thank for all that you gave me, for teaching me what love can do. And Thanksgiving Day, for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you. Thanksgiving Day, for the rest of my life, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Happy Thanksgiving, LNP on Blog Talk Radio. I am the host of In Our Craft or Sullen Art. My name is Richard Weissman, and I believe I've got my co-host on hold. Let me see if it's her. I'll bring her on the air.
Hey there.
Is that you, Neutron? Hey.
It is.
Thanks so much for joining us. I know that you are not in the best shape that you've ever been in, but you're here.
No, but I'm here.
I appreciate it. Awesome. Yeah, sometimes you got to play hurt, you know. So I have someone on hold. Let me bring them on, and we will keep moving on. 703, you're on the air.
Okay, this is Miriam Kilmer, and my poem is titled, How are you doing?
Good, welcome. So glad you could join us. So we're just getting started. Yeah, did you hear the Johnny Cash song that we started with?
I love it. Oh, I love Johnny Cash, and that was just a beautiful song.
Awesome, right? And I have to say that this was our LNP admin's idea. This was Fill My Eyes with Poetry. I said to her, do you have an idea for opening our Thanksgiving celebration show? And she came up with that Johnny Cash song. My traditional way to go is with comedy, and we've done this in prior years. We do the Adam Sandler Thanksgiving song. So this was nice. It was nice to go sweet and spiritual, I think, is the best choice for it. Yeah. So, now, Miriam, do you have some time with us, or do you need to read and run?
Oh, I have some time with you. I hadn't listened to your show before, and so I wasn't sure how things work. So I'm ready to read what you say, but I do have some time.
Okay, great. Okay, in that case, Neutron, I am turning it over to you.
Okay, so I just in case you did need to read and run, I got your poem up first, Miriam. So it's on the board, and when you're ready, you can read that for us.
Okay, I will just make the comment that while I was practicing reading this aloud, I was kind of stumbling a bit and losing my place, and I suddenly realized that since I will be reading this on the radio, I don't need to keep looking up to look at my audience. So
that's right.
That might be helpful. Okay,
right.
I'm ready to read it. Should I go ahead?
Absolutely.
Shall I go ahead now?
Yep, whenever you're ready.
Yes, thank you.
It up.
Oh, okay. The title is Thanksgiving, Our Songs and Our Complaints. Thanksgiving is a day for recounting blessings, right? In my most glowing memories, family and friends gather around a glistening roasted bird with all the splendid tastes and colors of the trimmings. Dark red cranberry sauce, both tart and sweet, heaped in a cut glass dish. Smooth creamed corn in blue willow china. Crisp acidic salad with all the colors of Christmas tossed in a hand-carved wooden bowl. Brown-skinned sweet potatoes split open to reveal mushy, vivid orange flesh, and yellow cornbread with a crust of golden brown served in an embroidered white linen napkin in an open weave basket. I smell the hot cornbread now, mingled with the rich aroma of melting butter. Then out come the pies, pumpkin, apple, pecan, and dark, fragrant mints with a browned lattice crust. There is billowy, homemade whipped cream. There are special silver dessert forks. COVID has curbed our feasting now, but I celebrate at home, munching my meager turkey dinner with my mate. Speaking of blessings, I do believe in complaining now. If we didn't complain, very little would change. Even Jesus complained. It lets off steam. It shows that we're hurting and vulnerable. For the first half of my life, guilt was my primary talent, a constant companion, a heavy, creepy whisper that sat on my chest like a wan, slobbering dog. I have heaved him off. I endeavor never to accept a ticket for a guilt trip, nor will I send one to you. So please, don't tell me I'm not grateful enough, nor that complaining is a sin, nor that counting my blessings one day of the year is wrong. Do send me a list of things you're grateful for. Request my list. It's a long one. I want to celebrate your joys with you, but sometimes sharing sorrow brings us closer. Love is my Thanksgiving gift to all, especially to those who have no exuberant turkey feast, who find it hard this year to lift your hearts in grateful praise. Complaining is prayer, too.
Wonderful read, Miriam. Great poem.
Thank you, Miriam.
Okay. Absolutely. And Neutron, if we can start comments with you, what you think?
So I'm really glad that Miriam called in today to read her poem in person. Firstly, the Thanksgiving feast that you depicted was an ultimate, and makes me a little jealous as an Australian not to be celebrating Thanksgiving today. It makes me yearn for the holidays. I enjoyed the wisdom that you imparted in your right, Miriam, from the need for complaining to the gratitude we show during the holidays, to taking stock in all that we have lost, and the need to pare it back for self-preservation for a lot of people, especially in the wake of COVID. This poem made me take stock of what is important, and I was drawn to this section here, so please don't tell me I'm not grateful enough, nor that complaining is a sin, nor that counting my blessings one day of the year is wrong. I have it on good authority from the messages that you sent back that you had a reasonably good Thanksgiving by the sounds of, and yeah. I'm very glad to hear that. Great, right?
Thank you so much.
Absolutely,
I love
great
what
comment.
You had to
and I also think we have someone on hold. Let me bring them on. I think this might be Pam, but I don't want to jump the gun. 715.
Hello, Richard.
You're on the air.
Hello, Michon. Yes, it is Pam.
Hi, Pam.
Hey, Pam.
So first of all, happy Thanksgiving. I kind of feel like I didn't say that maybe in the beginning. Maybe I did when I opened the show, but I'm going to say it every time that we have someone new call in. So happy Thanksgiving, Pam.
And happy Thanksgiving to all of you.
Thanks so much. So first things first, did you have a chance to hear Miriam's poem?
I did not get to hear it. However, while I was on hold, I did read it. And first of all, let me say that, Miriam, even though I didn't get a chance to hear you read, I am glad that you called in to read, because it's always such a gift to have the poetry read in the poet's own voice. And I really like this. It's a beautiful spiritual rite, wonderful attention to detail. I really connected with the mention of the smooth creamed corn and blue willow china. I could just picture that right there in that dish.
Right.
And then the idea of how COVID kind of curbed feasting and changed our outlook on things. And when you said, munched my meager turkey dinner with my mate, speaking of blessings, you know, it's just such a wonderful thing to acknowledge, not just during holidays, but all times of the year, that we are blessed in both big and small amounts. And I especially love is my Thanksgiving gift to all, especially for those who have no exuberant turkey feast, who find it hard this year to lift your hearts in grateful praise. And I think those are the people that it's most important to remember, are those ones who feel very alone during the holidays. So wonderful, heartfelt rite, and very well done.
Thank you so very much. It's lovely to hear how you understood it and how you experienced it. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Great comment, Pam. I, too, am really happy that you called in and that you led off our show with the first poem, because you kind of set the tone for the night. And it's wonderful how these things happen. A lot of times it's just, you know, serendipity. Because we have a lot of different takes on Thanksgiving. You know, we've got like 25 poems, which is why we're kind of keeping the ball rolling here early on. But it's really nice to start with one that I'm going to call a sober spiritual rite. In other words, it's not like airy-fairy spirituality. It's spirituality that has been tempered by the various seasons of life, including the dark side of recent history with COVID kind of muting what were more traditional big festive Thanksgivings, and the fact that, you know, despite that, you find the beauty and the sacredness that's embedded in intimate Thanksgiving celebration that COVID brought, and see the upside to that. I thought the whole thing was very well done and a wonderful way to open the show. And it's always difficult going last in giving critiques because Neutron and Pam are so good at it. I had in my notes about the vivid imagery, which they've already covered, but it never hurts to say it again. This is a poem that is laced with vivid imagery right from the get-go, and arcs with the sobering, you know, downsizing of COVID, and still you remain grateful and thankful. It's just a wonderful way to open the show. So thank you so much for bringing it to us.
Thank you very much for inviting me. And I have to admit, I am feeling overwhelmed now. It's just really, really wonderful experience. Thank you so much.
Oh, our pleasure. Yeah, we're glad you're here. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go?
All right, so we've got S. Sharp's poem, and I'm just double-checking. Yeah, look, I'll give this one a read. It's called The First Thanksgiving. They approached our gate, the Wampanoag, unexpectedly a remake at Plymouth Rock. Perplexed and reluctant, somewhat unnerved, mother and father met them at the gate. Soon the gates were opened and a feast was prepared. It was nice to know that my brother wouldn't be the only turkey around. Tensions were palpable, but hugs were passed out. Uncle Tom and his family entered. A treaty of sorts was formed. I played Squanto, liaison between warring tribes, Dad's brother speaking Algonquin, Dad mumbling under his breath in English. We ate outside, us children, on the hard, unforgiving ground because we didn't have seating for all the people present. Each tribe shared stories of earlier days of glory, times of plenty, times of thankfulness. Laughter was passed around like cranberry sauce and stuffing until hearts and stomachs were full. Traditions and blessings were set, years were intermingled, and end was established to King Philip's War. End poem.
Great read there, Neutron. And Miriam, what do you think of the poem?
I feel as if I've read it before. It's a wonderful poem. And I really love that it has the experience of Indian people in it. That was so important to the first Thanksgiving. And I have learned a lot just in the past year or so about people discovering more about what that time was really like for the Indians. Some of it very good and some of it quite horrifying, but it's really good to hear a poem that shows the Indians having a great time with the Thanksgiving feast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I like that someone tackled the historical aspect of Thanksgiving, and Scott always brings it. This one was no exception. Very strong poetry, a strong historical offering made more powerful through the use of first person singular. I thought this was nicely crafted throughout. Just another great offering of poetry by Scott there. So, lots to be thankful for. Good poetry is among them. And Neutron, what'd you think?
Yeah, look, I agreed with you there. Actually, exact words, strong offering for the contest, using historical facts interwoven to represent the modern-day Thanksgiving celebration. For me, the thing that I was drawn to was the warring factions at the dinner table, and I really enjoyed this section here. We ate outside, us children, on the hard, unforgiven ground because we didn't have seating for all the people present. It actually reminds me of Christmas time with my grandparents battling with the flies in country Victoria. Very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know some of these things are universal and transcend any particular setting. And Pam, I'll give you final word on this piece. What'd you think?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, I absolutely loved this one because, you know, I it's one of those poems to me that can be taken a multitude of ways. It can be taken very literally, or it could be taken metaphorically, or as I think Neutron kind of pointed out in her comment, it can be taken as both. The idea that the historical accuracy represents the idea of the love and war of family dynamics during the holiday, how there's always things that people seem to butt heads about, you know, from politics to favorite football teams. But in the end, we all just come together for that love and that thankfulness. I particularly like "Tensions are palpable, but hugs are passed out. Uncle Tom and his family entered, a treaty of sorts was formed. And then each tribe shared stories of earlier days of glory, times of plenty." And I like that part about each tribe shared stories because as far as Native American culture goes, in many cultures, you know, storytelling was such an important way of passing along history. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, good catch that it works on multiple layers, that, you know, the literal, historical, and then, of course, you know, the overlay of what's going on in this particular family in the present day. So nicely done. Okay, Neutron, where would you like to go?
Okay, so Pam, if you can read Namdag Somo's poem, please.
I would be happy to. "Gratefully Grateful" by Namdag Somo, and it goes like this. "Too often we forget the smaller things, the compliment, the friendly action. These are more important than ever at this time, like a gentle wind wafting through a sleepy village. I am grateful for this life I get to share with you. I am grateful. Clarity and truth cast light on selfish illusions. I'm grateful for the birds and the trees. I'm grateful for ocean and for sky. I'm grateful for the gift of feelings I go through when I cry. Through earnestness and a sense of inner peace, I can be thankful, experiencing gratitude for all, penetrating into hearts and minds with goodwill and prosperity, leaving the door open for next in line within the ancestral generational roots. This is a time to speak up, allowing our voices to permeate the land. Communicate your wants and needs to those you love, being ever grateful for every facet of life. It's all interwoven thread. What lies before us is pure love and abundance. When one is grateful and filled with love, ceasing to focus on the strife, sunshine illuminates the heart, soul, and mind. Miraculous things begin to open up when we are grateful through all times. I bow my head in reverence for all there is to be thankful for in life. But the thing I am most grateful for is that day when the universe blessed me with love and friendship when I got to be your wife." End poem. I think somebody's wife should have made a SoundCloud of this poem. Just saying.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like I should start. So yeah, as Namdag Somo's husband, I was especially moved by this piece. I found it heartwarming to me personally. And I know the feeling that was shared rings true, not just for me and for her, but for so many. This is a time that kind of ushers in the Christmas season, and it ushers it in with Thanksgiving. And gratitude changes everything. And I think her poem brings that truth to the reader. So I thought it was really well done and straight from the heart. Go ahead, Miriam, what'd you think?
Well, I'd like to say that on allpoetry.com, for those of you who are not familiar with the site, there are certain technical features that are meant to encourage us to pay attention to how we're writing our poetry and to improve. And one of the things that they tell us about is which of the words we're using are strong and which are weak. And I do use those. I do pay attention to those. But one of the things I noticed about this particular poem and really appreciated is that weak words are used in combinations that make them really strong. That the message is really strong in spite of they're using words that are frequently used and therefore don't ordinarily have the impact that they usually would. But it's just really well done. I'm talking about words like heart and soul and mind in particular.
That's a really good point. Yeah. I think that, because Pam's really, she's very much aware of all that, and she chooses to just follow her heart and ignore that stuff. and one
most of
our
time I ignore it.
Yeah, one of our friends, he goes by Abs, but his name's Steve. We were talking about the algorithm that kind of, you know, runs the logic behind all poetry, and it tells you not to use the word heart. And I made the comment, but the algorithm doesn't know whether you're talking about the physical organ in the human body, which is the heart. Which actually
absolutely,
would be
I tried
mind.
Really hard to find a synonym for the physical part. I could not find one.
Right.
Okay, excuse me.
Yeah. So his comment was that's because the auto rank is heartless, which I loved.
Very good.
Okay. Yeah. So Pam, as reader, I'm going to give you final word on this one.
Oh, yes. This was definitely a beautiful and heartfelt write. I think it's wonderful that you and Pam share your life together, that you both set a fine example of what it means to have a spirit of love and thankfulness. I really like clarity and truth cast light on selfish illusions. I'm grateful for the birds and the trees. I'm grateful for ocean and sky. I'm grateful for the gift of feelings I go through when I cry. I think especially that last part, I'm thankful for the gift of feelings I go through when I cry, is a really important part because it reminds us that we shouldn't just be thankful when we're feeling overwhelmingly just bubbly and happy. We should feel thankful for all aspects of our humanity. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Okay, so I know we have tons of poetry to get through. So in the interest of getting as many people read as possible, we'll move forward whenever you're ready, Neutron.
Okay, so I've got a Rentz's poem. Did she end up submitting a SoundCloud or is it, do we need a reader?
No, we need a reader.
Okay, Richard, if you could give this one a read, that would be great.
Absolutely. Yep, so this is The Art of Mum by Rentz. One foot through the door, the other in my mouth, I'm handed love. Its barbed edges tick tickling my ribcage like an awkward hug once the weather has diffused. Sidestepping conversation, too political, social, philosophical, we end up on the topic of ulcers. Like those childhood games where cracks in the pavement spell instant doom. The turkey makes a crackling hiss as the carving knife broaches brown blistered skin. And with a thousand sides, we make noise and eat long till we've taken in the soft flesh and left a heap of bones to dry. End of poem. Okay, so if we can start comments off with you, Neutron, what'd you think of this one?
I really enjoyed this poem, and just a general note about the poems. Everyone's come to their Thanksgiving poem from a different angle, and I really thought initially, before I started reading the poems, that it was going to be quite a schmaltzy episode, but quite the opposite. Especially with this poem, I thought it was a touch of brilliance. I was drawn to that, one foot through the door, the other in my mouth. I'm handed love, its barbed edges tickling my rib cage like an awkward hug once the weather has its dues. And I think Rents has captured the choreography of Thanksgiving so very well, staying off taboo topics of contention that seem to be as divisive as food intolerances during the holiday season. And it reminds me that everyone has one in their family, and I too, I will imagine, will have to dislodge my foot from my mouth at least once during these holidays. I thought it was an amazing write.
Absolutely, great comment. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this had brilliant imagery and metaphors. I too really like how it speaks on that oftentimes what is a contention that love hate relationship. I don't know if hate's the right word, but you know, there always seems to be, especially, you know, with mothers and daughters, this kind of almost a butting of the heads that can happen so easily, and yet at the same time there's this love that just doesn't go away. And I did really like those opening lines, and also the mention of like those childhood games where cracks in the pavement spell instant doom. The idea of trying to avoid the cracks in the conversation in order not to hurt somebody's feelings. So excellent write and very well done.
Do you want sound on? No.
Just a reminder to place yourself on mute in between talking, just to keep the noise off the board.
I'm so sorry. I will turn it off here.
Thanks so much, Neutron. The funny thing is that I was saying the same thing, but I was on the other side of the coin. I had forgotten to take myself off mute. So that's always the danger when you play with the mute button. You got to remember to take yourself off mute too. Okay, so so I too was really impressed by this one. Oh my gosh. Such a skillfully woven Thanksgiving poem. The metaphor is subtle, profound, and bittersweet like life itself. I felt like this was just one of the real strong offerings for tonight. Just a wonderful piece of poetry.
Okay.
Some background noise. So let's move on to our next piece.
All right. I just had to make sure I wasn't done by the mute monster. So, Richard, my ocular migraine's getting a bit worse, so I'm going to read my poem and then hand over to Pam for the rest of the show, if that's okay. And but I'll
fine.
Give it to
Thank
read
you.
First.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is one I wrote last year. I think I may have played it for last year's Thanksgiving show, but it's still quite pertinent, and it's called Bunurong. Life has a way of creeping up on you, vertically reaching like star jasmine seeking sun. The years pile on like concentric rings in a decomposing root-bound tree stump. The climactic proclivities are born for a tree lofer to bear witness to, lives extinguished, a post-mortem examination of the trees punctured by war-torn blemishes. The bloodlines run deep, a sap that bleeds seeps through like ravaged bloodwood bark carved with the cauterized wounds of our First Nations Mudjun. We stem the tide of Bunurong by walking with unity in the light of the path of ancestors past. Smoke coalesces on the abrasions of a nation yet to heal. End poem.
Wonderful job there, Neutron. And if we could start comments off with Pam, what'd you think?
Oh, I thought this was absolutely amazing. It's one of those that was definitely worth hearing again. Let's see. Well, amazing imagery and metaphors. I like that. Duraga, that's
it's Indigenous Australian dialect. I think they're in Sydney. Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for, Indigenous. Yes, I thought it was so cool that you used some of those words. And you take us into, yours also kind of reminds me of Scott Sharp's, in the idea that it's historically accurate. It takes us into the bloodlines of the people. It takes us into a people who need to be healed from a horrific history. I remember watching this YouTube video about these Aboriginal Australian families whose the kids were taken from their parents, told their parents were dead, and put into schools that they shouldn't have been into because they weren't orphans, and it just made me cry. It was just horribly painful to watch. But slightly a side note there, but that's what your poem made me think of. But it also makes me think of, you know, of how family can be difficult, how facing our own personal history, a cyclical history of for ourselves and the same habits over and over again and the same things that our family, our through generations have gone through. I really do like that one line, the whole last two stanzas all the way through are just powerful, beautifully written and very well done.
Excellent. Thanks, comment Pam. There, Pam. And Miriam, your thoughts? Are you there, Miriam? Let me comment on the poem. So this was one that I'm so happy you brought back to us because it truly is a very, very strong offering. What you did that I loved so much in this poem was how you took Thanksgiving, which is the story of North America's Aboriginal tribes, and you globalized it through this poem of Australia's Aborigines. And the whole thing's just really powerful. When I looked at it last year, I picked out that last stanza. But the whole thing is just so strong. That penultimate stanza, too, the bloodlines run deep, sap that bleeds seeps through like ravished bloodwood bark carved with the cauterized wounds of our First Nature's legend. Just wonderful work. As always, Neutron. And just a side note, I wanted to personally thank you for joining us. I know that, you know, you're not on your A game right now, and I appreciate the effort. I know how it is. So, yeah, so I really appreciate you coming on board and spending part of the Thanksgiving celebration with us. And I hope you feel better real soon.
Thank you. I'm going to go take some Panadol and Nurofen, and hopefully that works. If
yeah,
not, I'll try something a bit stronger.
Yeah, whatever
All
it
right,
takes.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you got to take care of yourself.
Okay. Thank you, and thank you, Pam, so much for taking over.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah, feel
bye,
better,
guys.
Neutron. Okay, bye.
Bye.
All right. So Pam, if you could run the board.
Absolutely. And I just took a look through Late Night Poets, and I think I've got it figured out, because from what I can see, you started at Miriam's poem and then worked down after Miriam. So I'm going to jump back up to the top. And and if at any point I put something up that you guys already read, which I don't think I will, but, you know, you can just speak up and say something. So I'm going to go ahead and put up Gratitude to the Multitude by Liquid Mind Forever. And Richard, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Okay, so this is Liquid Mind Forever. It's called Gratitude to the Multitude. None of the hackneyed Thanksgiving drivel, just my schism scribble for those who quibble. You ask, what am I thankful for, more or less? In truth, it ain't 100 proof or my late Grandma Bess. I am grateful for Oscar Wilde and Bosie Douglas. I am grateful for Stephen Fry and Jude Law. I am grateful to be able to honor Oscar's omnipresent chutzpah. I'm grateful to be in the realm of his willingness to die for his truth. I'm grateful for and to Kent Nerburn, who writes like a phoenix with genius. I'm grateful for all his accolades and awards, for his courageous First Nations work. I am grateful for his brilliant mind, his love of the natural world, his commitment to love. I am grateful for his spirit to have in the depths rarely touched by humans. I am grateful for Helen Mirren, Meryl Streep, Jeffrey Rush, Reese Witherspoon, Joaquin Phoenix, and the hundreds of hours they provided me with genuine emotion, and the screenwriters, playwrights, novelists, poets, songwriters, and movie producers like Richard Gere, who put everything they have on the line to make films like Hachi. I am grateful to be an uncommon denominator, terminator, exterminator of pests. I am grateful to have put in my time, paid my dues, and received positive reviews. I am grateful to have had my one true wish answered. I asked God to grant me creative trance that I may write with a lance and never cease, win, lose, or draw, long or short straw. I am grateful for a deep and abiding knowing beyond words, beyond being here. I thank you to all those who have helped me make it thus far, and thank you in advance to all those who will continue to contribute their gifts and talents to making this world a far, far better place than it would be without them. I am grateful to my mum, spider chrysanthemum of my life. In poem. Okay. And Miriam, if we could start comments off with you, what'd you think? Phil might have stepped away. Go ahead, Pam, what'd you think of the poem?
Yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate this one. The fact that it's got a central theme all the way through, it's very focused, very thought out. I like that she reminds us that there's more to be thankful for than, you know, because, I mean, and of course, family and friends can be important, but the world is so much broader when you open your mind to what else is out there. And the fact that she focuses in on the idea of being thankful for the gift of creativity and how the giants of creativity and free thinking that came before us, you know, such as Oscar Wilde, Stephen Fry, Jude Law, you know, well, Jude Law is still around, all these people who have creative minds, who have these different talents, and to realize that we have our own special talent to share with the world. You know, just like those who write the big novels, just like those who star in the big movies, you know, even if it's only in our own little pond, you know, even if it's just the people that read us on All Poetry, we have gifts to share with the world. And I like that she ends it with a nod towards her mother. I'm grateful to my mom, the spider chrysanthemum of my life. Now, I don't know if spider chrysanthemum has a value to her or a personal value, like it's a flower that she highly prizes or that her mother highly prized. But I think it's just so thoughtful to connect her mother with a specific flower. And I also have to say that, on a side note, a slightly related note, is I find Stephen Fry absolutely hysterical. I watch him in interviews. He has just got that perfect, dry English humor and is so much fun to listen to. At least I think that's I hope it's the right Stephen Fry I'm thinking of.
It is.
But anyway, wonderful write and very well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, great comment. And first things first, let me say that this was a joy to read. The flow and lyricism was just, you know, the words literally rolled off the top of my tongue. So it always makes it even that much more of a pleasurable experience. You know, this is a spoken word art form. It's meant to be read aloud, which is why the poetry show is such a powerful thing. And then in terms of the content, I thought it a heartfelt poem of gratitude and rejoicing for the love and art that makes life worth living. Just a nice ad for our Thanksgiving show. And, you know, and also the reminder that for us too, as artists, that it's art that makes our worlds so special, and sharing our gift, which is what she's doing in this poem, and kind of underlining that as something to be grateful for, is a, you know, special kind of like, like a Drost effect, you know. So very, very special poem. Very well done. Okay. And with that, I think we're ready for our next one.
Oh. All right. And
Miriam, you're back. Did you want to comment on, did you hear it?
Yes, I did.
That's okay.
I really did.
Wonderful.
I wanted to talk about craftsmanship here, the excellent use of rhyme, and whether she's using rhyme or not, the beautiful conversational tone of the whole thing. It's very informal through the rhyme sections and as well as the non-rhyme sections. It flows really, really beautifully.
Absolutely. Yeah, she is great at lyricism. Great comment. Okay, Pam, now we're ready.
All right. Well, up next we have Thanksgiving Manifesto by Dammit Dave. And it goes like this. Thanksgiving Day has lost its meaning, at least it has for me. Sure, a lot of families still get together, and maybe there's a quick thank you, Lord, for this food. But I find that it's mainly become an excuse to eat too much and fall asleep in front of the TV. I usually skip the whole family gathering thing and spend the day alone or have dinner with my kids if they're in town. Mom's in a nursing home, and my stepmom invites everybody and their brother to dinner. Many of them I don't even know or want to know. Frankly, I can't stand to play nice to some of them, especially those who wear the term redneck a-hole as a badge of honor. As I get older, I find that I dislike the holidays a little more every year. They tend to send my anxiety and stress levels into overdrive, and being around a bunch of people, family or not, doesn't help matters. Plus, this festive time of the year isn't so festive for me. The holidays always send me into a dark, depressing place. As I reflect upon my life, the plethora of mistakes I've made and friends and family members whom I've lost along the way. Being diabetic also helps to ruin the holidays. Pies, rolls, and mashed potatoes are a huge temptation for me, but I have to avoid them like the plague. It actually pains me when I see others eating things that I can't right in front of me. My youngest brother seems to especially enjoy making and lip-smacking noises just to tick me off. Spending Turkey Day alone doesn't make me popular with the folks, but I don't see anyone bending over backwards to come see me the other 364 days of the year. If they're lucky, I'll make a cameo appearance on Black Friday. Otherwise, I'll just be glad that the gluttony feast fest is over, and then I can start properly dreading Christmas. End poem.
Great read there, Pam. And what a great offering by Dammit Dave. I thought it was awesome musings on the downside of the holiday. It's mainly become an excuse to eat too much and fall asleep in front of the TV. And how true that is. For my wife and I, we just get together with our closest friends and share a simple meal. The whole Thanksgiving extravaganza is not our style nowadays. And I wanted to thank Dave for sharing his thoughts with us, as well as adding his voice to our evening of Thanksgiving poetry. I especially like that close. Then I can start properly dreading Christmas, which almost, now, you know, here I am mind reading, but it almost makes the whole thing a little bit potentially tongue-in-cheek. I think there's a certain ambiguity that's only brought home in those last two lines. It's almost like he's saying, gotcha. and I don't know, maybe not, but I did think it was very well done in either case, a wonderful offering there. And Miriam, what'd you think?
Well, I think maybe I wrote my poem for Dave. Yeah, but I mean, I feel so much for him and so many things he says in this poem. I feel along with him, although most of my Thanksgiving experiences, my personal experiences, have been very positive. But I'm very aware of the sadness and difficulty for the people for whom it's not good. And God, I know that family conflict, absolutely devastating. And that I certainly have experienced. And I, he said it very, very well. And that's, I think, my compassion is not only because I'm aware of such difficulties, but because he expressed his feelings so well.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, as reader, I'll give you final word.
Absolutely. This is wonderful. I like it because I personally find it very relatable, because I will say that Dave, as a fellow diabetic who has spent more than one holiday alone, and estranged from family, it's definitely extremely relatable. I like that he tackles this subject in a way that's both humorous and hard-hitting and takes a bite at reality. I could totally picture the younger brother going, and making smacking noises with the lips, which is, by the way, something that in my realm of thinking puts you in the slap across the face category of people. But, you know.
Yeah.
And but I do also think, you know, he does make some wonderful serious points in this too. Like, I did see the dark humor in it, but I also see the serious points that too oftentimes people treat holidays as a way to overeat, to get drunk, to, you know, buy themselves, you know, spend however much money on their credit cards that they want to. Another really important part to me of this is spending Turkey Day alone doesn't make me popular with the folks, but I don't see anyone bending over backwards to come see me the other 364 days of the year. It reminds me a lot of that quote, or maybe it's just a meme or whatever it is, that says something along the lines of, don't show up to my funeral with flowers. Bring me the flowers while I'm still alive. And I think too often times we save letting people know we want to spend time with them for special occasions like holidays and death, and that's an unfortunate thing. So excellent write, mm-hmm. and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. Okay, where would you like to go?
All right. Well, up next, we have, oops, I didn't quite grab the next one. Let me go ahead and do that. Is Miriam, are you able to do some reading?
Oh, yeah, I guess I could do that.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and grab a poem, and I am going to put up, Tradition Blind by Doc Juniors the Third.
Tradition Blind. Okay, give me a second to figure out how to find it here. Oh, there's the Traditions Blind. Sorry, overlapping icons and such. I'll be there in a minute.
It takes a while to kind of get a handle on all the different moving parts to the radio show. So, I think it took me probably my second or third show before I really got it.
Can you give me a title for the next one, and you go ahead with this, but while I figure out how to do this, because it's not working.
Yeah, and if it helps. Yeah, if it helps, you can go on to groups and then late night poets, and you'll see when Pam puts the next poem on the board, it's a hyperlink.
Groups, late night poets. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that usually helps.
All right, well, I'll go ahead and give this one a read then. Tradition Blind by Doc Juniors Third, and it goes like this. Or Beast and children unblessed, conscious and capable of feeling pain, the typical turkey generally find real humor in family gatherings at Thanksgiving. A, rationally ethical veganism, doomed turkey, wishbone grabbed by piercing laughs, pulled till snap splinter shoots straight through newborn's eyes, shrieking screams and horrors wake, emergency red sirens sound, no luck, no hope, plus one dead turkey. A dedication of respect for a conscious being's level of intelligence heaven beyond all rational doubt, zip to do with capacity to feel pain, thus giving it an ethical status, logic 101. A revolving Helios nonet, mine Pepin satire, November 2022, yet thanks being given to ancient gods, still lacking a rationally intelligent empathy and continuing to bless animal sacrifices, end poem.
Nicely read there, Pam. So, you know, this is one of those poems that really asks us to examine what it is, as William Burroughs would say, what it is that sits at the end of every fork. And I thought it was a nicely reasoned call for vegetarianism. I can see both sides of it. I think that certainly mindlessly munching on this animal who has not asked to sacrifice itself does no one any good. But I definitely understand the concept of everything eats everything on this planet. And that is just the nature of what, you know, of how it works here on Earth. And the key, I think, is to make it sacred, you know, that this animal has not asked to sacrifice itself. But in giving thanks for its life and making it sacred somehow, we recognize that sacrifice. And, you know, that's what sacrifice means, is to make it sacred. So I don't know. That's just my musings on it. It's a very controversial topic, and I thought he espoused the vegan point of view quite eloquently. Nicely done. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, I've been working on finding your group. Tell me again the name of the group, and I'll see if I can find it.
Yep. It is Late Night Poets. So
Late
if
Night
you're
Poets
on All Poetry, what? Late
I
Night Poets. Yeah, if you're on.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're
it's
on
not working
All Poetry.
On... Yeah, I'm there. I'm on groups.
Yeah, if you're on All Poetry, there's groups, and you should be able to see it.
Miriam might not be a member of Late Night Poets.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'm as good as I'd like to be.
But I'll just go ahead and I'll send her the links to the poems I want her to read.
There you
okay.
go. That's the way
sounds
to do it.
Sounds good. That sounds like an easy fix.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the meantime, Pam, what'd you think?
Yeah, you know, I like the way he writes about his personal beliefs and does it in a way that's kind of humorous and fun but also thought provoking. I like what you had to say, Richard, about how I like what you had to say about how it should be just all done with that kind of idea of that thankfulness, of thoughtfulness, of, you know, the idea of whatever works for you as long as it's done from the heart. I really like his lines. A dedication of respect for a conscious being's level of intelligence, having beyond all rational doubt, zip to do with its capacity to feel pain. You know, that part there makes me think of one of my all-time favorite movies with one of my all-time favorite movies, Pulp Fiction, where they have the conversation about the difference between a dog and a pig. Remember that one? Where it's like, I don't
you know,
think pigs are dirty animals. Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, Pulp Fiction, just such a great movie. And, you know, the whole conversation about, I won't eat pigs because they're a dirty animal. And he says, well, do you consider dogs a dirty animal? I don't eat dogs either. Yeah, but do you consider them dirty? No, dogs aren't dirty because they're cute. And it's like, so in other words, if pigs were cute, you'd you might eat them. I'm really paraphrasing that. Trust me, John Travolta and Samuel L. Jackson pull off that whole dialogue much better than I do. But anyway, that's what that made me think of. And I thought this was a clever write and very well done.
Excellent, excellent comment. Okay, let's move on to our next one. Where would you like to go?
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and put up Not Thanksgiving by Mark Lupe. And Miriam, I sent that one to you in your private messages on All Poetry, so go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Let's see if I can figure out how to get there.
Well, you should know how to get into your own messages. That's pretty easy.
For my messages, okay. I can do that.
You might have to refresh if you don't see it.
Might have to do what?
Refresh your page if you don't see it.
No, everything I'm getting is comments on my poem. I'm sure you don't want that.
Hmm.
Right,
okay, should
I read it? What if I go to the contest, can I find you from there?
It is actually in the contest. Yeah, Mark Lupe.
Okay.
Not Thanksgiving.
Test. Because I have the poems here. It's just that I can't find the particular poem in time to read it once I'm on a page.
Well, that's okay. You know what? Richard and I will just do the reading, and you can help us with the comments.
I'll try to pay attention well enough. Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So this one's called Not Thanksgiving by Mark Lupe, and it goes like this. Go look for the fountains in the mud. Teach the moonlight how to smile. Make Mark Lupe give a F. Or make a rose from pools of blood. All I can say is lots of luck. It will be a while. Lie down for a million years. Crawl on your hands and knees a mile. Make Mark Lupe do some work or else. Eyes painted with clown tears. Wait, hands and pockets like it will be a while. Love's a vacuum. It's just lust. Mirrors only show us errors. I mean, here's Lupe's face, so dumb. The only feeling you can trust is when the usual night's dreams come, a child's midnight terrors. End poem. Okay, what'd you think, Miriam?
Well, I'm certainly familiar with the child's midnight terror. I don't think I would ever have on my own associated that with Thanksgiving, and nor would I have ever given thanks for it when I was little. So that was very, very beautifully written and something to think about.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's very talented. So I thought, first of all, great comment. And I too thought this was a great confessional poem, very dark. And definitely not the typical Thanksgiving rite, allowing us a glimpse into a dark personal space, giving light barely shines. So very well done. Okay, and with that, where would you like to go, Pam?
All right. Well, up next we have... let me look here. Counting and All right, here we go. All right, and up next we have Thanksgiving of Gifts by Pee Wee Cousin, and it goes like this. Stuffing and ham, turkey and pie, big old drumsticks, get 'em, oh my, get 'em, my, oh my. Let me start that over again, sorry. Stuffing and ham, turkey and pie, big old drumsticks, got 'em, my, oh my. Some helpful skills show us how to plant. Native American and white man join hands. First Thanksgiving they did celebrate, just being alive, many already met fate. Smallpox and disease, brutalities and reservations. Look at the wonderful ways we repaid them. End poem.
Great read, Pam. And Miriam, let's start off with you. What'd you think?
I really liked hearing about the historical Thanksgiving, the first one, and the stark contrast between the lovely picture of the Thanksgiving feast and the harsh realities of what both the Indians and the settlers were experiencing, the horrible diseases and the starvation, and how beautiful that at least for that time the Indians and the settlers were able to get together in friendship and make something to build on.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, I too really like this one. I thought the where he shows the history behind the feast was especially powerful, and what a dark arc it was. Smallpox and disease, brutalities and reservations. Look at the wonderful ways we repaid them. Very powerful brevity.
Sure.
And I think this was the first brevity I've read of Pee-wee's. Great job with it. It's always, you know, such an amazing thing how talented poets can do so much in so few words. And this was a great example of that. And Pam, as reader, I'll give you final word.
Not only a brevity, but the fact that I didn't have to bring out the thesaurus or the dictionary for a single word that you put in here, it's like a freaking Thanksgiving miracle.
Great.
I love Pee's poetry. It's great. But and he definitely knows how to use words skillfully. But I really enjoy the straightforward style of this. I like how he throws us off because that first line, those first stanza, is so lighthearted, so whimsical, so kind of poking fun. I like the duality of big old drumsticks, got 'em, my oh my, like the enjoying the drumstick off the turkey, but also getting those much bigger thighs due to the extra serving of mashed potatoes. But he really hits hard with those last three stanzas, the other three stanzas, especially the last one. Smallpox and disease, brutalities and reservations. Look at the wonderful ways we repaid them. Those last lines really take a look, a hard look at the harsh reality of a cruel history. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. Yeah, yeah, very powerful. Okay, where would you like to go?
All right. Well, I have to say, I like that Damn It Dave said in LNP. I hear it's the soul of wit. Yeah, I hear somebody said that once, if I remember right.
Marcy Parker, thanks.
And Richard, I went ahead and put your poem up. Go ahead and give it a read for us, please.
I do see it. Okay, so this one is called Another Thanksgiving. despite plumes of coal dust ever rising over the Smokies, despite burning libraries and shuttered plans, caned aging mothers blowing blue clouds of tobacco smoke into infant lungs, despite all these, another Thanksgiving is here. The white tablecloth is again drawn taut for friends and lovers, old and new, as whispered trappings of abundance ring throughout our sand-beaten tourist town. The turkey leg is pulled, then gnawed on, Henry VIII style. Cranberry stuffing and candied yams are paired with mead, champagne, and cola. Again, we give thanks for food, medicines, books, and even the screens. But more than these, we thank the universe for that dancing white in another's eye as they bear hug and softly whisper, "You are my song." And a pool of warmth drowns old sorrows as the light of gratitude peels back the moonless dark. And we hit our knees with warm palms kissing till we memorize the sacred tableau and pray for one more dawn. And a poem.
Great read there, Richard, and wonderful write. And Miriam, your thoughts on Richard's poem?
I enjoyed the references to other cultures that I don't think we have heard before tonight, and I particularly enjoyed hearing Henry VIII in there. That was a big surprise. Do not associate him with Thanksgiving. And I found the poem very musical and easy to listen to. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Miriam.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is a wonderful Thanksgiving write, Richard. As always, your poetry is very thoughtful. Wonderful imagery throughout. I really like the imagery in Thanksgiving is here. The white tablecloth is again drawn taut for friends and lovers, old and new, as whispered trappings of abundance ring throughout our sand-beating tourist town. I like that you make this relatable to anybody in any part of the country, you know, who's celebrating the get-together, but also with the imagery of a sand-beaten tourist town, make it specific to your hometown or to the town you live in now. I also really got a kick out of a turkey leg pulled, then gnawed on, Henry VIII style. You can't help but get that song, "I'm Henry VIII, I am Henry VIII, I am." And I'm going to picture you singing that at your Thanksgiving dinner. but it's filled with so much heart and so much warmth, and the importance that it's more not just about the food, but about the people that we spend it with. So just an absolutely wonderful write and very well done.
Thanks so much, Pam. Okay, where would you like to go next?
All right. Up next, we have Redneck Thanksgiving Prayer by Mark Spencer.
Ah. Yep, so this one we have a SoundCloud for, so we can all rest our voices.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great.
Yep, okay. Let me go ahead and play it.
Lord, we have gathered together to thank you for this meal. Since I've been out of work for months, this don't hardly seem real. We was ready to starve, again, when my boy Caleb here came running up a-hollering, "That car just hit a deer!" Luckily, I'd siphoned some gas out of my neighbor's truck, so I had enough to drive down and get that old squashed buck. We thank you, Lord, for squishing him. We're beholden to you. I couldn't take another year of Mama's chipmunk stew. And thanks for the vegetables we stole from Farmer Dorn. Thanksgiving feasts are always best with venison and corn. And we won't have to force it down with our Thanksgiving grog the way we did some time ago, the year we ate the dog. So Lord, we'll just leave it at thanks and quickly say amen. Mama's drooling like a blue tick. So everyone, dig in.
Wow, what a fun SoundCloud that was. So I have to say, I read this before Mark sent in the SoundCloud, and it stood up just as a piece of writing, and I loved it. I thought it was a wonderful redneck Thanksgiving poem, funny as all get out, just great, you know, and it's and highly relatable to me because that's my wife's, you know, her family's background is that hillbilly background. So I love that. But then when we played that SoundCloud, oh my gosh, did it come to life in a whole other way. It really was a piece of production, audio production, where you had the background music and it was just, and he's reading over it, and it's just perfectly paired. The background music doesn't overwhelm the recital. It was just a wonderful production, really well done. So I know I always say this every time, but this time I have to say it and underline it by saying thank you for the SoundCloud, because that was awesome. Okay, Pam, what'd you think?
Oh my goodness, I tell you, the SoundCloud just really added to that. I mean, it was awesome to read in the first place. And I want everyone to know that I'm really hoping to go back and leave written comments. It's just right now it's impossible for me to leave written comments on the show. So because I'm just enjoying tonight's poetry so much that I want to make sure people get comments. But I tell you, you know, I was already, I had taken that deep breath, and golly gee whiz, I was going to use my very, very best redneck voice I had ever used in my daily life. But thank goodness Mark saved us all from that. This is wonderful. It's a lighthearted touch for the night. I like the way he pulled off the read. I enjoyed the rhyme and flow, the humor in it. Especially, we thank you, Lord, for squishing him. We're beholden to you. I couldn't take another year of Mama's chipmunk stew. So excellent writing and very well done.
Absolutely. And Miriam, I'm going to go ahead and give you final word. What did you think?
Well, I couldn't get to my mute button in time, so I had to hold my hand over my mouth because I was laughing so hard. That was just great. I just loved it. And the way it was read and the technical excellence. Just everything about it was fantastic. And excuse me, but I do not wish to try any of that chipmunk stew.
Yeah. Great. Great comment. Okay, Pam. Where are we going next?
All right. And up next we have No Turkey Down Under by Peter Solway. And Richard, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Absolutely. So this is Peter Solway. It's called No Turkey Down Under. And I have to say, before I even get into it, it would be wonderful if Neutron didn't have a migraine, because she's down under too, so it seems like she'd be a natural reader, but I will give it my best. No turkey down under. Just hot Xmas, cool Easter, birth and death of Jesus, ham and eggs, no slaughtered turkey, no holding hands around grandma's mahogany, silverware, polished Thanksgiving, daddy cutting ugly ducka. Mother, a little drunk, nervous with sauce, grandma's favorite, thanking the Lord. No more the tablecloth of Jackson Pollock. The old bat been put to sleep, leaving a tidy sum in old bat investments. Willow of Bradman, no towns to pause, hold hands with silverware of tradition. Great ugly kin of self-righteous Americans, whole load of stuffing, sauce of poisonous fruit. Thankful again, old bat dropped, leaving future presidents grateful. Of Norman Rockwell, we've got Rolf Harris tying his kangaroo down, Christmas in Pentridge, spooning the bars of untuned steel. Not very thankful. Xmas and death. Not much between plucked hens and painted eggs. Broad canvas of Rolf Bradman coming up to bat. Down under with the Simpsons. Stupid cricket. Life upside down. A stupid gift. No Thanksgiving. Inverted existentialism. Just birth and death runs between. End of poem. Okay, so go ahead, Pam, what'd you think?
I really enjoyed this one. I like that Peter gives us a different perspective. This has a sentimental feel to it, a nostalgic feel to it, but it's a biting nostalgia, a realistic look at holidays and family and life and death. I like how he uses the Australia where he comes from and where Neutron comes from as a fine example for a place that, and a people that are highly representative of the upside down, when we're having winters, they're having summers. I also really like this all the way through, but mother a little drunk, nervous with sauce, grandma's favorite, Thanksgiving, thanking the Lord, no more the tablecloth of Jackson Pollock, the old bat been put to sleep, leaving a tidy sum and old bat investments. The mention of the tablecloth, no more the tablecloth of Jackson Pollock, and I thought was clever imagery. And also, but art of Norman Rockwell. We've got Rolf Harris tying his kangaroo down, Christmas in Pentridge, spooning the bars of untuned steel. He really gives us an edgy look at what life can be like for people during the holidays when they're not a holiday that you can necessarily relate to. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely, great comment. And Miriam, your thoughts?
That was what I liked best. But yeah. Also, I really want to beg, borrow, or steal this poem for a contest that I'm running now. It would be absolutely perfect for the Southern Hemisphere and Southern Climes contest about winter holidays, the holidays that are winter up here in the north, and the way that the poet turned that into a metaphysical discussion, I thought was just brilliant.
Absolutely.
End of comment.
Great comment. So I think that I got a little lost here, but I'm back. So I thought this was a wonderful counterpoint to the traditional Thanksgiving poem and poetry. And to me, it was somewhat reminiscent of William S. Burroughs, A Thanksgiving Prayer, which I never play for the show because it's a little racy for 10 p.m. Eastern time. I especially liked the same part that Pam had highlighted, Mother a Little Drunk, Nervous with the Sauce. Grandma's favorite, Thanking the Lord, No More, The Tablecloth of Jackson Pollock. Just wonderful. And very well done. As always, great poetry from Peter. Okay, Pam, where would you like to go?
All right. And up next, we have Traditions Change, Gratitude Remains by Gary Rubin. And it goes like this. Trains, planes, and automobiles leave without me. No 500-mile Thanksgiving pilgrimage. No bean, cherry, mandarin, orange, jello mold, ghoul details placed into a time capsule. Go big or stay home. I now choose the latter. The holiday still has warmth and comfort, but no snail mail, navy blue Sharpie invitations, no mushroom soup, green bean recipe, aged but old relative details passed by, not on. Granny shuffled like autumn's hunched over son, osteoporosis arched low into a support walker. Late arrival bookended her early departure. Fading strength sistered its meager reserve. Hello, everybody, jubilantly trumpeted revelry. Alzheimer's had erased years of photo albums, relatives buried in the tomb of the unknown soldiers. Yet even diminished brains feel smiles, dim sunshine. Grandma brought homemade lemon meringue. Souring situations are a bittersweet, unjust dessert. But her daughter's Alzheimer's is different. Today, Mom violently upturns the buffet tray. Spirits live in new recipes with new refugees, invitations for those hoping for inclusion, shelter from winter's oncoming dark loneliness. Bread broken satisfies our most basic needs. Thankful to be seen, heard, connected. End poem.
Wonderful read there, Pam. Yeah, what a powerful write. You know, with modern medicines, many relatives live and survive with diminished mental capacity, and something similar happened to my dad after he suffered a stroke before he passed away. I thought it was a powerful and highly relatable confessional poem. I especially liked Spirits Live in New Recipes with New Refugees, Invitations for Those Hoping for Inclusion, Shelter from Winter's Oncoming Dark Loneliness, Bread Broken Satisfies Our Most Basic Needs, Thankful to Be Seen, Heard, Connected. And just to kind of round out my comment, Gary actually responded to my comment and said that he added to his author notes that he believes the poem could be viewed solely sullen and dark. And for those people, he writes, I hope I revised the notes to clarify my intention. So the notes are, Thanksgiving was my mom's favorite holiday. It was my grandmother's favorite too. It is weird how the same disease played out so differently in them. Grandma's hello, everybody, showed her mind's recall was slipping away, but not her joy for life. Mom's memory slippage created paranoia for being discovered and progressively that isolated then produced anger. So that was the note. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, as somebody in my 70s now, I can relate and not only to caregivers, but to the people who need to be cared for. I don't have dementia, but I've had some times when I thought I did. And that image of the tray being upset, I think that's what hit me the hardest. I haven't seen my own relatives get into a state like that, but I have seen other people, you know, parents of friends and so on. And it's so hard to see somebody that you really love, that you've grown up with, get into, almost turn into another person. And so very, very moving.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Pam, I'll give you final word.
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful heartfelt write, just brilliant with its relatable imagery, wonderful how it delves into the deeper thoughts of Thanksgiving and shows such a love for family and a love for tradition, but understanding that tradition can change if it needs to, because sometimes it needs to adjust according to, you know, a family's individual situation and needs. Just a wonderful write all the way through and very well done.
Great comment there, Pam. Okay, and moving along, where would you like to go?
All right. Up next, we have We Thank You, Lord by Marius Alexandru. And go ahead, Richard, and give that a read for us, please.
Okay, so this is Marius Alexandru, We Thank You, Lord. Today, by grace, we come to you to thank you for all that you do, for our great family and friends, for your pure love that never ends, for all the blessings day by day, for all you are and all you say, for holding us in your strong arms through sunny days, through heavy storms, for promises that you still keep when we are down and when we weep. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Today we praise you and we sing. We thank you for your hugs so warm to keep us safe away from harm. You answer when we daily pray. You always show us the right way. Today, with childlike hearts, we came and we give thanks to your great name. Today, by grace, we come to you to thank you for all that you do. End of poem. Okay, Pam, if we could start with you, what'd you think?
Yeah, this is a beautiful spiritual rite with a wonderful flow to it. It definitely has a very prayerful feel to it. I really like for promises that you still keep when we are down and when we weep. We thank you, Lord, for everything. Today we praise you and we sing. Wonderful lines, beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. Great comment. And Miriam, what'd you think of it?
Here I am. It was beautiful in its simplicity. It reminded me of the sung grace that I learned when I was in kindergarten, but it was extended beyond that. I was so many contrasts in it, which were not in that brief kindergarten prayer. It was really well put together. And I particularly like the way the poem was ended with that. Up until then, it had all been written very, very regular meter and rhyme. And then at the end, it's a more conversational tone. And I think usually poems are done the other way around. So that was a little different, and I think it was very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Great comment. Yeah, I love this piece. Strong poetic prayer and expression of faith. And, you know, I have to say, I read these aloud when I first comment, when people first put them into the contest. So I had read it aloud before, but there's something magical that happens here on the air every 2 weeks. When it's being read aloud on the air, it kind of just, you know, takes it up a notch, and just the nature of the beast. And sure enough, the lyricism that I caught the first time, I could really hear that music of words, especially strong this time when I read it aloud on the air. So wonderful piece. And with that, let's move on to our next one.
Absolutely. That is a really good point you make there, because it does make a world of difference. I do the same thing. I read aloud when I first get a poem. You know, I hear that on the show, and then I read it aloud when I go to judge the contest. And just hearing the poems on the show is really just makes a difference. And so up next, and I would like to say welcome, Miriam, to Late Night Poets. Glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now you are a member of Late Night Poets. So you'll be able to go into Late Night Poets during any of the shows and see the poems that are being read. And so glad to have you.
I will study.
All right.
I will study. But anyway, this has been far beyond my expectations. Really so much fun.
Wonderful.
Great.
I'm glad to hear
that. It is. Yeah, it is really a special thing. And it, like I said, you know, it took me around two shows before I really got the hang of all the different moving pieces. So don't be discouraged, because there is a lot going on. There's the board, and there's the postings of the poems, and then you have to double-click on the hyperlink, and you have to call in. There's a lot of moving pieces to it. But after a while, you kind of get the hang of it, and there is something very special that we do here, and it's a full board too. You know, it's like we do this every night of the week, so, and sometimes
in the daytime
on Wednesday.
Check it out.
Okay. Yeah. So we're really glad you could join us. Okay, Pam.
Thank you so much.
All right. Up next, we have Depressed Heroine by M. Lee Dickinson, and it goes like this. Her med resistance long had been in vain. For years, depression pricked her conscience tried, a heroine at toughing out her pain, avoiding pills she kept a lot inside, afraid of Benny, Barb, and Auntie Buse, but hep to Titus how he needled her, asked if she wanted help. She not refuse, then nod off affirmation, hear her purrs. Thanksgiving turkey cold and sparse on dressing, sweet potato buttered up with fear. She tripped a pan of gravy good for messing, up the bedroom floor, yet hopes appear. December's blue and cold affected her, but Auntie Depp pressed towards a clean new year. End poem.
Great read, Pam, and not an easy one to read. The wordplay, double entendres, and the portrait of the attic coming out of the holidays, cold turkey, made it a challenging poem to read, and you quite well. And I think that this was one of the more challenging poems of the evening, because it sure seems simple, but boy, is this a complex poem. You know, it's a poem about addiction and about going cold turkey and coming out the other side, and the difficulty that the recovering addict has at this time of year when people are making merry and drinking alcohol. You know, especially not just Thanksgiving, but Christmas and even more New Year's Eve. And he hits that with the last line, toward a clean new year. I mean, everyone's drinking champagne, you know, and here's this addict in recovery who's staying sober and clean, despite the depression of, you know, of the blues that come with the holidays. So I thought it was very intelligent, very well done. And Miriam, your thoughts?
Well, there's a good deal of alcohol addiction in my family, going back several generations and continuing into the future, I'm sorry to say. And so I have always been very aware of the extreme courage it takes for someone who is in recovery to stay away from those bottles that are liberally being passed around. And I really felt for the, should I call it a heroine of the poem? You know, slipping in the grease and all that. Everything is harder to do when you're ill or otherwise incapacitated. And so very heartfelt, beautiful poem. And I will, well, I'm going to go back and read all these poems on All Poetry and make comments where I have comments to make. And this is one I will look for especially to see if I can find those puns and all.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful comment. And Pam, I'll go ahead and give you final word.
Yeah, this one is. It's really clever. It's an intelligent write, beautifully written with its rhyme and flow. As you said, just great wordplay, you know, especially within that second stanza, afraid of Benny, Barb, and Auntie Booze, but hepatitis, how he needled her. Wonderful lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and try and get a couple more in before we close out.
All right, sounds good to me. All right, up next we have Giving Toast by Joe Brazo. And Richard, go ahead and give that a read for us, please.
Sure. So this is Joe Braz called Thanksgiving Toast. Table is set. Feast laid before us. Gratitude singing. Join in our. Remember those sad, hungry, and cold, the sick and the poor, lonely and old. We join hands to share, our thanks overflows. Family, close friends, season's gift grows. The food we give with smiles to prepare, passed around the table for all to share. Glowing fire blazes from the hearth stone, adding heat, light and heat to seal in our home. We're grateful you came to our house this year, this Thanksgiving day, toasting good cheer. End of poem. All right. So, Miriam, if we could start comments off with you, what'd you think?
It was a very spiritual poem. I loved discussion of things that we have to be thankful for and the family and friends. It was very regular meter and rhyme. I just say, but I mean, that's not usually my thing, but it's very skillfully done. Mm-hmm. And it seemed perfectly natural the way it was written. And I just really admire that.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that's what it's all about, is if you're going for rhyming poetry, is to just make it just flow like, you know, like butter, and seamless is the word. And I thought that he accomplished that in this piece. As the reader, it was not at all difficult to just have it flow from beginning to end. Compelling rhyming scheme and heartwarming Thanksgiving message. I thought it was really nicely done. And Pam, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a wonderful rhyming poem. It's a beautiful, heartfelt message. And, okay, I have to apologize here because I see it says Joel Braz, B-R-A-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I don't know, is that the same guy or is it a different guy? Because I know there's a Joel Brazo on here.
Yeah.
It is the same guy.
Here's what it is, because I checked. Yeah,
okay.
'Cause I wanted to make sure we had blanket. So it is the same guy.
Oh, good. Good. Okay, because I said the name without – before I had clicked on the title and seen the, you know, so I wasn't sure. But anyways, I have wonderful lines, a wonderful feast of words, Thanksgiving offering that shows us the importance of being thankful for what we have while at the same time remembering those who are alone, those who are in need. So excellent write and very well done.
Absolutely. Okay, and where would you like to go now?
All right. Excuse me.
Okay.
Up next, we have Reflections on Thanksgiving by Seagull, and it goes like this. And of course, I'm thankful for the usual things, good friends and family, technicolor leaves, and the cooler days November brings, the symbolic celebration of a bountiful harvest, a table laden with the fruits of summer's labor, all signaling the start of a long winter's rest, mismatched chairs pulled close together, some filled with old memories and new faces, small talk of counted blessings in the weather. The house is alive with sound on that day, chattering, clattering, and rattle in the kitchen. Living room whoops and hollers of replay, replay. Doors slam, happy feet clomp up and down the stairs. Children laughing, running about, tummies growling. Christmas music faintly drifting in from somewhere. The welcome chaos and animated conversation, football games, marching bands, high-flying balloons, all play a special part in this day of celebration. But one thing that sets apart Thanksgiving Day from any other holiday or family get-together are aromas wafting from the kitchen that say, a turkey slowly browning an all-day bake, stuffed with pungent sage and celery dressing, brown sugar candied yams as only Gran can make, mom's fresh cranberry relish with orange zest, nutmeg and cinnamon of fresh baked pumpkin pie, unique aromas that define the holiday the best. If all sense of hearing and sight were taken away, no calendar at hand, just stepping across the threshold, I know at once the fragrance of Thanksgiving Day. So yes, I'm thankful for the usual things, good friends and family, the U.S. of A, and the cooler days November brings. End poem.
Nicely read there, Pam. Great job. And Miriam, if we could start comments off with you, what'd you think?
I guess I'll start with, if I couldn't eat pumpkin pie anymore, I would still bake one for Thanksgiving because I just have to have that aroma. So that was beautifully stated. And the whole thing just really took me back to my childhood with many, many of the details. The images just came back. Excuse me. Cat, I'm sorry. I had to apologize to my cat.
That's okay.
Well, especially the mismatched chairs. you know, we had so many people over for Thanksgiving. It was, we had, I had, came from a huge family, and then my parents always invited friends that they knew would not have any place to go for the holidays, for a big meal. And running up and down the stairs. We weren't allowed to do that, but of course we did. So it, thank you, poet, for the joy that, that brings back.
Yeah, yeah, I think that, that you nailed it, Miriam. Reflections on Thanksgiving, it's all right there in the title. It's almost like a kaleidoscopic look at what Thanksgiving means and, you know, the sights, sounds, and tastes of Thanksgiving. And I like how the poet brings in the hoops and hollers of replay, you know, that football is a part of Thanksgiving in the United States nowadays and in our lifetimes, you know, in, here in the 20th plus 21st centuries. I thought it was nicely crafted throughout. And I love that refrain-like close. And the cooler days November brings. Just a wonderful piece. And Pam, I'll give you final word.
Yeah, I thought this is a wonderful write for a Thanksgiving show. Such a, an amazing night of poetry and company. And, you know, just I really like Miriam, what you had to say about how even if you couldn't no longer eat pumpkin pie, you'd still bake it for the scent, the aroma. And I also like that you're the type of person that apologizes to a cat. Seagulls right here.
That's me.
Seagulls right here is just absolutely wonderful. I, too, like that she brings in the attention to detail, like the mismatched chairs, the counting the small blessings, being thankful for family and friends, and, you know, for the aroma of food and the tradition passed on. And, you know, just wonderful lines all the way through. And I do like that part. And if all sense of hearing and sight were taken away, no calendar at hand, just stepping across the threshold, I know at once the fragrance of Thanksgiving Day. Beautifully written lines and very well done.
Absolutely. And what an appropriate way to end our celebration of Thanksgiving with a poem yes. that reflects on Thanksgiving in this kind of holistic way. And just, you know, I have to say, you know, it, of course, nothing is ever perfect. Neutron wasn't feeling well. But I kind of felt like there was a certain, you know, a certain, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? Symmetry to the night that we had Miriam join us and read her poem. And, you know, it was her first time on the show and you kind of picked up the ball for us, Pam, when Neutron wasn't feeling well. And it really was like a Thanksgiving celebration, LNP style. So wonderful work all around. I want to thank my co-host Neutron, not only today, but, you know, for all she does all year round. And thanks to you, Miriam, for joining us. I'm so glad you decided to bring your poem on the air and spend some of your Thanksgiving with us. And special thanks to you, Pam, for picking up where Neutron had to leave off. Much appreciated. And, of course, thanks to our admin in the background, Fill My Eyes with Poetry, for all she does, and special thanks to all of our poets that contribute every 2 weeks. Without you guys, there is no show. We are very thankful, not just on Thanksgiving, but every time that we do one of these shows. So thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving if you're on the West Coast, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks. I think we're
great.
All
here. Thank you so much. It's wonderful.
Thank you, guys. I'll just close it out.
Okay. Bye.